is the humanity of Christ. It is impossible to exaggerate the importance, Father Gerald's clear understanding, when God became man, he came truly, became truly a man. Remarkable. Teach theology for so many years. How many very brilliant students we have the faith do not as clearly as they should or could understand what their faith means. When we say that God became man, we mean two things: the true, real, infinite God became a true, finite man. No way we can comprehend that mystery. I repeat, it is incomprehensible. In all the heresies, now 2,000 years of the church history, all of them have arisen from a mistaken understanding either of Christ's divinity or of Christ's humanity. Somewhere here, the spirituality of Father Gerald was his clear understanding that the real God, the true God, became a real and true man. Father Gerald's motive, of course, was not only to make clear the incarnation in our faith, but want to make clear, I can tell you, I know of no article of our Catholic faith is more dull, more unclear, more mistaken than that when God became man, he became a real, true man. And that man received his flesh, his human mother. That God-man is on earth in our midst. That, repeat, is everything. I mean everything in Christianity. When the Word of God came in the Incarnation, he came to his mother, first of all, for her own immediate soul. Christ deeply loved his mother. But God became man not only for the sake of his mother. God became man out of love for us. There's a phrase that's worth quoting. Clothe me, mother, with your flesh, with your blood. Mold me, mother, me, the Creator, who created you. I want you to fashion me, your son, the eternal son of the Eternal Father. Want to be the Son of Man. And Father Joel adds, and she did. This truth of our Catholic faith repeated the foundation of everything else in Christianity. And within Christianity, that which makes the Catholic Church the only authentic form of Christianity in existence. Why? Because in the Catholic Church we believe that this God became a true man, is among us, will be in our midst until the end of time. Father Joel would say, the Eucharist began in the womb of Mary as the Son of God had taken flesh, the Incarnation, would have been no redemption without redemption. There would be no priesthood. No priesthood of Christ who died on the cross. No priesthood of others whose task in life is to communicate the blessings of Christ's death on the cross. When we hear that, we're not surprised. Father Gerald Levaletsko, in all his writings, that Jesus Christ, the true God, is, I repeat, a true man. Unlike sacrifice of the Old Testament, New Testament is new because the multitude of sacrifice, your law, are reduced only to one. And that one is a sacrifice of God who became a real man. How important is it to know that Jesus Christ is true man? Indispensable. When God became man, should he died on the cross, but there would have been no sacrifice as God had assumed a truly and fully human nature with a truly and fully human will. I could spend the rest of the time, have the privilege of being with you, on the importance of recognizing that Jesus Christ is true God, became a true man, because everything else is secondary, because he assumed a real, truly human will. We heard so often, we define sacrifice as a voluntary, the first word, voluntary surrender of something precious to God. What did Christ do on the cross? He sacrificed, he surrendered his own human life. I repeat, the essence of the Incarnation, the heart of the redemption, was not in Christ's body death on the cross. the essence of Christ's sacrifice was to have a human will. Human will with which he not only die as man, but choose to die as a true man. In the early 1940s, when Father Gerald actually began his special apostolate, he already had this clear vision of faith. I repeat, I am mainly here because my deep gratitude, man, long before I met any enemy of the precious blood, he had read something, Father Joel's writing. Only God knows how much of my now 51 plus years in the priesthood I'm able to tell people, written what I've published. I say this with deep sincerity. I owe to Father Gerald, as I found out, one thing to know theology. In divine theology, as a science of the faith. Notice, science of the faith. It is one thing to have the faith. It is something quite otherwise to have, I use the word advisedly, a scientific understanding of your faith. That, first of all, I've said this publicly and so spokenly, I owe only God knows. I believe mainly Father Gerald Fitzgerald. Therefore, literally true, and outside of heaven, the only place we can find the God-man, Holy Father Gerald, and the sweet humanity with which he clothed himself, is the Blessed Sacrament. Understand that sentence. Understand the Catholic faith very deeply. Where is God? Obviously, God is in heaven. He is only in heaven. But notice, we need God in the broadest and deepest sense of the word. Can I ask you? She has you this way or this way? Is God everywhere? Is God everywhere equally? God everywhere equally. What a question. God is present everywhere, but he is present only in heaven, in the fullness of his divinity, united with his humanity. Fullness of God. Everything means God, God is present, first part of the sentence. Only in heaven, where he is clothed in his human nature. He is present equally on earth. Yes. God is present, the fullness of His divinity and the fullness of humanity only in the Blessed Sacrament. No words of mine can do justice to what I've just said. That is why, to understand the real presence is to begin, repeat, to begin to understand how important, better, how imperative is the priesthood. I wanted to make sure, after His death and resurrection, shall on earth 40 days remain as fully and truly and as totally with the fullness of His divinity only in heaven and on earth only in the real presence. I tell you, I'm seeing much more, mountains more, than my words may seem to imply. And this fact of our faith, Father Gerald, I can say this, bequeathed to me years before I met, and he handed me the precious blood. I never had the privilege of meeting Father Gerald physically here on earth. We go on. The Eucharist is called the Blessed Sacrament. Why? Precisely because it makes sacred or sanctifies those who receive His humanity. To be sanctified means made like God with the All Holy One. Very well. Where is God present in the fullness, I repeat, the fullness of His divinity? Only in heaven, right Him as Heavenly Father, only on earth in what we call the Blessed Sacrament. Before I go on with this meditation, let me ask you, let me beg you, to ask our Lord to deepen your grasp, your understanding what the real presence means. None of us would be here as we believe in the real presence. I've dealt with too many people, too many priests, too many religious, not to know what I guess expected to say. What a safe statement. And all Catholics understand their faith. Period. Close the book. One reason they do not understand their faith, because they are so constantly exposed to so many aberrations of the faith. Through one nominally Catholic book after another, in one nominally Catholic magazine after another, there are books, whole books, long books. We just mentioned one, 600-page book, Edward Skillebeck's, the Dutch Dominican theologian. 600 pages, all about Jesus Christ. Long before he finished that book, you have no idea, no idea what I am saying. Now, the fullness of Christ's divinity is contained only in his humanity, present in heaven, right hand of his heavenly Father, and present fullness of make whatever makes him God, the God man, in the Blessed Sacrament. That is why I've said, even in this conference, or these conferences, we've lost over 10,000 priests in America since the Second Vatican Council. We've closed most of our Catholic seminaries. Lost, I keep repeating, 90% of our Catholic seminarians in America. 10 seminarians this year, or 100 in 1965. It all began inside their minds. The earliest days in the seminaries they attended, they were fed all kinds of clever, sophisticated, superbly intelligent untruth. One untruth has done incalculable damage to a country like our own. It is the untruth that the fullness of Christ's divinity is not, hear the verb, contained within his humanity. That was part one of my conference. Part two. God is now man. It's not an uncommon temptation among spiritual persons to find that growth in holiness somehow means a growing independence of Christ's humanity. I've shared this with you on some occasion. The great Teresa of Avila, a doctor of the Universal Church, a lot of mystical thinking, a lot of spiritual meditating. She began to think, if only she could gradually withdraw from Christ's humanity, she'd come to know the real Jesus Christ. Was, shall I say, acquiring the erroneous idea that somehow Christ is an obstacle to one's relationship with God, God Himself. Then she admits, why did they give her a very special mystical experience? There's a long mystical rebuke told in plain Spanish. You better stop your thinking. Stop thinking the way you are. Books you're reading, thoughts you're having, the men who are consulting, whom you are consulting, giving you advice, are being misled. You dare budge from seeing the fullness of my divine nature in my humanity. is to say, Teresa, woke up. And that is called a temptation. Teresa of Avila had become, I think I've ever said this publicly, the most widespread error in Christianity, and is plaguing the Catholic Church. What do I mean? We Christians believe, we better believe, that the true and full Godhead became a true and full man. We dare not budge that principle of our faith. What are some, first of all, of misguided heretics, but now misled millions, millions of once believing Catholics? They have spoken on some occasion with you people about Thomas Merton. What happened to Thomas Merton? Began thinking of God independent of the human nature which the real God assumed. Like who? Like Father Fox, the ex-Dominican. I've read enough of his writings to realize the bottom line of his errors is he will still speak of God, talk about Christ, but the Christ about whom he writes by now have misled, I really believe, millions. The God about whom he writes when he speaks about Jesus Christ not become a true man, in whom is our faith, in whom every, what shall I use the term, every cubic centimeter of Christ's humanity, every square inch of his body contained, now the language of the church contains the fullness of Christ's divinity. And this true and full God became a true and full man, the person of Jesus Christ. We now go on. God is no man. I have spoken at some length of the temptation of Teresa of Avila. We go in holiness, so people tend to think you know, somebody become independent of Christ's humanity. Nothing could be further from the truth. I'm quoting Father Gerald. Any tendency free from our Lord's humanity is impossible to consider a movement in a closer union either with Him, with Heavenly Father, or His sweet Holy Spirit. You might ask, why do some people, why have they over the centuries, why do they now think otherwise? And God knows the reason. And each person is being misled. One reason, however, may be that, quoting Father Jowen, we are too apt to think of Christ's humanity as a bridge over which one would try to pass into the Trinity, as though Christ's humanity were a kind of necessary convenience. Once we cross over the bridge, we can dispense with the temporary roadway. Believe me, Father Gerald is profoundly insightful. In the worst, I believe, the most devastating error in still professedly Catholic Christianity. But this concept cannot stand for Jesus. For Jesus making his humanity a bridge. For humanity is not a bridge. It serves a useful purpose. One's cross nor need the bridge. I want to share before this conference is over certain depths of Father Joe's thinking, which I'm afraid many of us do not realize. We return to the theme. Humanity of Jesus Christ is no mere bridge to the divinity, but the hypostatic union. How often we've used that expression, we've read it. Hypostatic. Hypostasis is by no means person. Hypostatic union means that the divinity and the humanity form one divine person. God is permanently God made man. We've said before, God having become man will never cease to be man. I'm quoting Father Gerald. For the moment of the incarnation, the eternal Son will never be separated from his humanity. In fact, even his death on Calvary, body and soul were separated. Hear it. But both his body and his blood remained in unbroken union with his divinity. I may have said this on some occasion. In the Middle Ages, the faith of Catholics was stronger and deeper than it is now. Even the heresies that arose are more subtle, more profound. Well, the heresies condemned by the Church in the early 13th century was the claim that Christ with his divinity was not present, hear it, in every drop of his precious blood. We believe Mary standing under the cross during Christ's crucifixion was spattered by his blood. Every drop of Christ's blood touched Mary's garments. Every touch, every drop of Christ's blood contained, here the verb, contained the fullness of his divinity. Thus, Christ's body in the womb was adorable as a soul in limbo. When we speak of Christ's divinity being in every part of Christ's body, we also mean Christ's divinity was present, fullness of his divine nature, in every faculty of his soul. Our faith ever requires that we affirm the Son of God has entered into this ineffable, which means indescribable union. His divinity with his humanity. And in pursuance of decision to remain always with us, Jesus Christ, the full Christ, everything that makes him God, he is present in everything that makes him man in the Blessed Sacrament. Words cannot describe the depth of insight which Father Gerald gives us based on the faith that he and we share together. Father Gerald goes on, given this belief, how foolish you would be to think that either in time or in eternity, that pass beyond the warm, living heart of Jesus into a more spiritual intimacy with God. I repeat, I've read enough books in the spiritual life. They may have told you on some occasion. First year in the novitiate, report to the novice master. He asked me, how much reading have you done? Count the number of books. I told him, 1 year, began my novitiate, read 104 books on the spiritual life. And forget what he told me. About 100 too many. Now, how many books you read, what you grasp of books that you read, one book. I know the books in print, in spiritual life. A widespread, shall I call it, dissemination of error. Arguing that people draw closer and closer to God. But a God who is being separated from his humanity. Jesus Christ, who is full God and true God, is present in the fullness of his divinity in every drop of his precious blood. While we'll see before these conferences are over, what a difference in seeing we are to become like God who became man, like God who became man who is living in the Blessed Sacrament. Won't dwell on this. But we all know Christ is present in the Blessed Sacrament, practicing the deepest humility conceivable. Thank God, as a community of the Catholic Church that still spends 24 hours a day for the Blessed Sacrament. Holy Father told me on orders, everything you can, restore faith in the real presence where it has been lost. Strengthen that faith where it is weak. I think I've quoted you, Bishop friend of mine. Some years ago, published a book on the outside of the cover was the thing I remember having told you. Bishop of a Catholic church is a chain locking the doors. Said the bishop, I agree with him. The greatest calamity in the Catholic Church in our country is empty Catholic churches. Because people do not realize, and yet, how can they realize the priest who is supposed to teach them are themselves so often misled, misguided, often from seminary days on. I call this Geraldine spirituality. This is its bedrock. Father Gerald built on this premise, for the premise, truth of Christian revelation. Once God became incarnate in the womb of Mary, he has never for a moment severed himself from this substantial called hypostatic union. He wants to be with us, remain as one divine person, true God and true man. Everything else in Christianity, everything depends what God did when he became man. The simple mystery of the faith. Everything else follows on our faith in this truth. God not only became man, God is man. The same identical Jesus, the Last Supper, issued the Blessed Sacrament, the same full divinity, now present at the right hand of his Heavenly Father. And then, that's why we are talking about this. God became man. He is God, man, present in the fullness of his divinity. In our midst, just as truly, just as fully, just as completely, and will be, and we fondly hope when he is present to us in the beatific vision, when we see God face to face in the person of Jesus Christ. And this is not only what Father Gerald taught, this is at the heart of our faith. Another conclusion. Is it any wonder, in the light of all we are saying, and that the priesthood takes on such breathtaking dignity, and priests, for all their human weakness, all their human tepidity, are so important? Without priests, this God who became man would not be the God-man on earth. In other words, God is on earth, fullness of his divinity, hidden indeed, behind whose veils, even hiding his humanity. With this I close. This is why the church over the centuries is called the Eucharist, you know what? The, capital T, capital H, capital E, the mystery of faith. To believe in the Holy Eucharist, believe in the real presence, makes you believe everything which God as revealed. Why? Because in his real presence, God is present in the fullness of his divine and human natures. One more observation. We commonly and correctly speak of praying before the Blessed Sacrament, Lord, knowing our Lord, which we should. I want to tell you, there's no other place on earth can learn more from God, over divine will for each one of us, or he wants us to grasp and understand our faith. No place on earth we can learn more than by praying, adoring Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. I'm sure I've said this more than once. For years, God has been merciful to this sinner. Most of them ever published have been written before the Blessed Sacrament. But what trial you may have, what tribulation the Lord may send you, what misunderstanding you may be undergoing, the key to knowing how to act, what to do, in the most difficult, humanly impossible situation is ask our Lord before the Blessed Sacrament. Why? Because in praying before the Holy Eucharist, you are praying before the living God, the fullness of his divinity. There's a great joy we have access to in this world. To experience a foretaste of heaven by, I mean this, living in Christ's presence in the Eucharist. Once we reach the beatific vision, we'll see through the speaker what this means. Lord Jesus, we beg you, lighten our minds to your presence in our midst. Show us how truly and fully you are God, are here. There is nothing you will not give us. But we ask you in deep faith for your real presence in the Holy Eucharist. Lord Jesus, present in the Blessed Sacrament, we love you, we trust you. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, amen.